Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. I'm really glad you tuned in. Very happy Wednesday to you. It's a beautiful day in the upper Midwest. Well, I'm really glad you're listening today because we're going to talk about what Jesus said, what he says about you, about your life, and about faith. You know, he spoke about many things, but sometimes we forget how intimately his words apply to our lives today. So Stephen K. Scott joins me again back on the program to talk about his book, The Greatest Words Ever Spoken. And those would be every single word that Jesus ever himself spoke. And then second hour, Dr. Dick Foth joins me again to explore what an adventurous life in Christ looks like. I loved our last conversation with him, so we asked him to join us again to talk more about how to turn your everyday life into an adventure of a lifetime. Okay, so here is my question for you. If someone asked you to share something that Jesus has said, what phrase, what words immediately first come to your mind? If someone asked you to share something Jesus has said, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Two things for me. One is that I've appointed you to bear fruit. This is out of John 15. It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. I've appointed you to bear fruit that lasts, and apart from me, you can do nothing. That's all out of John chapter 15. But also when he said, in this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Those words of Jesus ring through my mind always because it reminds me to live the abiding life, that I can do nothing apart from him. He did nothing apart from his Father's direction in his life, but also not to be disillusioned when I hit troubled spots because he already said, you're going to have trouble. This is just the first part of the journey. Life on earth is short. Eternity is long. And so we need to be of good cheer even amidst our trials because we will overcome because Jesus overcame. So like I said, talking to Stephen Scott today, we're going to look at some of the greatest words ever spoken. Let me tell you about him. We'll get him on the show. Stephen K. Scott is an international author and successful businessman whose books include The Richest Man Who Ever Lived, The Jesus Mission, and the one we're discussing today, The Greatest Words Ever Spoken. He and his wife, Shannon, have, listen to this, 7 children and 5 grandchildren. You can find him on the web at StephenKScott.com. Dear Stephen, welcome back to the program.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. I look forward to this every month, Susie.
I do too. It's such good conversation, such rich conversation. And I know that you're a man who loves the word. So I'm wondering as we start out the conversation, is there a verse, passage you've been camping on these days?
You know what? One that's very revealing. It's from the, it's in the upper room. It's on the last night of Jesus' public ministry before he's arrested. It's the night he's arrested. And he's there with his disciples, and they are confused. They're discouraged. They don't quite get what he's saying, that he's going to go away, but he's going to come back. And it's really, they're bewildered. And it shows that even though they've been hanging with him for 3.5 years, they still don't know him. And he actually says to one of them, he says, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? And what God's really been revealing to me and really speaking to me about lately is that just hanging with Christ is not the same as knowing him. Just studying the Bible, studying the Gospels is not the same as knowing him. Jesus said that no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom he chooses to reveal him. And my whole focus on life these days is coming to know Christ more intimately. That's my number one goal in life, because I know that as I come to know him intimately, I will also come to know the Father intimately. And that's where the real glory and richness of the gospel lies. It lies in coming to know the Father and the Son intimately. In fact, Jesus said that in John 17:3 in his intercessory prayer, right shortly after he said these things in 14, 15, and 16, when he said, "And this is eternal life." Now he's going to tell us what eternal life is. "And this is eternal life, that they might," and in the Greek, "intimately know you, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Mm. So that's his goal for us. That's my goal. And that's my goal today for your listeners, is that we will feed them from the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will feed them his words, that they might hunger and thirst for him, and that they may begin, no matter where they are in their relationship with Christ, whether they're brand new believers or they've been hanging with him like Philip for 3.5 years, for 3.5 decades, that they might come to know him more intimately.
That's so great. As you're talking, Steve, I'm thinking of the woman with the issue of blood and how she broke all these cultural norms to press up, get a hold of Jesus' hem. And you think all these crowds pressed on him because he said, "Who touched me?" And one of his disciples said, you know, everybody did, basically. So sometimes people hang in the church setting because, you know, there's something interesting going on. They're curious or they want to check it off their religious list of things to do. It's the right thing. Just go to church. And you see these crowds that congregate where Christians congregate. But, I mean, I think these people who pressed up against him, she's the one who got the miracle because she was pressing for him. You know, she was going after it with him. And I just think when we draw near to him, he draws near to us. It's an irresistible thing that we want to know him. He wants to be known. I think it's just so beautiful. Hey, you and I were talking before the show that you've got another book that we're going to celebrate the release when it comes mid-December. But you said today's reading is about adversity. And I just spoke at a conference this weekend, and I just said, you know, from what I can see, from everybody I talk to, people themselves are either being shaken right now or their loved ones are. Someone they know and love is being shaken. It's just that kind of a time. I said, if that's true for you, raise your hand. And pretty much everybody of the 3,000 women raised their hands. And so this reading, I just would love for you to read today's reading from the book that's going to release here in a few months, in case it's just an encouragement for somebody. Set up the premise of the book and then read today's reading, if you would.
Sure. I'd love to. The book is called Jesus Speaks, and it's a daily devotional. But what makes it unique is it's based entirely on the statements of Christ. Jesus made over 2,000 statements that are recorded in the Scriptures, or right around 2,000. And what we've done is we've created a devotional that doesn't draw outside the lines. There's no author opinion. It's in the voice of Christ, kind of like Jesus calling, but it starts with a red-lettered statement, then springboards off that statement, and then it ends with another red-lettered statement, and then it sends people to Greatest Words, where they can then dive deep on that day's topic and see everything Jesus said on that subject. So the whole goal of this book is to begin to create a habit for people to abide in Jesus' words, that Jesus made these incredible promises, more than 20 promises, to those people who would begin to abide in his words. And he didn't make those promises to anyone else, just to those unique people who would abide in his words. And so that's the whole goal of this book. It's called Jesus Speaks, and we've been blown away by the endorsements that we've gotten from pastors. In fact, there's 4 pastors that have endorsed the church that between them have 150,000 people in their pews every Sunday. Mm. And but it's, once again, that people might come to know him. So today's happens to be on adversity, and there's other ones on adversity in there. And you quoted a very important verse. And that verse was in John 15, rather, where he says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, be courageous, I've overcome the world." And so one thing about adversity that this one doesn't talk on, that verse is handled on another day, that we shouldn't be surprised by it, that it's part of life. Look at our brothers and sisters in the Middle East that are being yanked out of their home, raped, murdered, tortured, okay? And yet they're not denying Christ. Just like these college kids in Oregon that were asked, "What religion are you?" Instead of saying, "I don't know," or anything, I mean, they said, "I'm a Christian." Boom, shot through the head. in this world, you will have trouble. It's part of life. Jesus says that people will do terrible things to the Christian. Why? He says, because they do not know the Father or me. See, the world doesn't know the Father in Christ. And in the absence of knowing him, they will do terrible things to those who know him. So this is part of our life. And he encourages us, and he does this in another one of the devotions that I'm not going to look at right now, where he encourages us to be honest in our prayers. And it's okay that we pray for deliverance from adversity. He is glorified when he delivers us. But there's other times in adversity where his glory is from how we go through that adversity. So that's what this one is, and this, the title of today is Accepting Adversity and Overcoming It. And the word in the letters in red at the top are, put your sword back into its sheath. Shall I not drink from the cup of suffering the Father has given me? And then here's the devotion. As I was being arrested, Peter pulled out his sword. He wanted to end my adversity his way, as quickly as possible. He didn't realize that the Father intended this adversity. It would be the very means through which Peter's redemption and that of all my sheep would be provided. I needed to endure it to the end. But the good news is, the so-called end wasn't the end. My victory didn't come by avoiding the trial. It came by enduring it. Child, I know that when you experience devastating trials like Peter, you try to work your way out of them. And yet sometimes the Father has a greater purpose than merely eliminating or solving a problem. When you follow me, the ultimate victory will always be yours, even in death. So when trials come, don't despair. Run to me. Cast your cares upon me. Fast, pray, and abide in my words. Listen to the whispers of the Holy Spirit. Know that even in your worst trials are only temporary, and that they are producing for you treasures in heaven that are eternal. Trust me. And then the concluding red-lettered verse is, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.
Most gladly, therefore, I'll boast of my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell within me. Talking to Stephen K. Scott today. When we come back, we're going to unpack some of the greatest words ever spoken. These are the words of Jesus. You got questions, you can call in. We've got a couple copies of this great book to get into your hands. The greatest words ever spoken, 877-933-2484. You open it up, it's like the red letter edition. It's the whole book is the red letter edition. 877-933-2484. Or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Stephen Scott in a moment. Said at the open of the show that, as Scripture talks about, you know, right now things are being shaken. They are. But they're being shaken so that which cannot be shaken can be clearly seen. So if you're in a shaking season, look around for what's not shaking. You know what's not shaking? God's love, his word, his promises, his devotion to you, his promise to be with you. Life on earth is short. Eternity is long. And part of the invitation in our suffering is to trust God, is to respond to his word, and to trust that he's good even when life just feels stinking hard, you know? Talking to Stephen K. Scott today, we're going to talk about and unpack some of the words of Jesus and what they mean for us today. Love for you, Stephen, if you would, to just unpack. You talked about this last time you were on, but for those who missed that conversation, just talk about the inception of this idea, the inspiration behind the greatest words ever spoken, everything Jesus ever said about you, your life, and everything else. Talk about that, if you would.
Oh, I'd love to. I didn't plan on doing that, I was reading the Sermon on the Mount, which I've read many, many times. I went from atheism to Christianity shortly before I turned 16. And in 2006, I came upon, or actually 2005, I was reading through the Sermon on the Mount again, and I came to the passage I hated, which was, and you're not supposed to hate the red letters, but I hated these because they always ripped the rug of assurance right out from under my feet, where Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, or who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. For many will say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, and then, of course, we know, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not work many wondrous works in your name? And I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And that used to just drive me nuts. And then one day in 2005, I didn't stop at verse 23. I went on to the next verse, which started a new paragraph, and that one said, therefore, so the whole reason he gave what he just said, is the revelation of this terrible dealing with professing Christians that he didn't know, and he gave us that for what follows. Therefore, he who hears these words of mine, these sayings of mine, and does them, excuse me, a little cough there. He who hears these words of mine and does them, I'll liken him, in contrast to these others, to the wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rains fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against the house, but the house stood firm, for it was built on the rock. And I realized that the rock here wasn't Jesus Christ. The rock here, according to Christ, was hearing and doing what he said. And then he goes on to confirm that, and he said, and he who hears these words of mine and doesn't do them, I liken him to the foolish man who built his house on the sand. And we know the rest of the story. And I realized, Lord, what you're really telling me is that my assurance doesn't come from having prayed a prayer when I was 15 years old. My assurance has to come for it to be solid, that you're telling me that my assurance is based on building a life on the rock of hearing and doing what you said. And he instantly replied to me, I believe by his spirit, yes. And I said, but Lord, you said so many things about so many things. Where do I even start? And that's when I believe he told me, organize my words, my statements into topics or subjects. And I thought, oh, that'd be so cool. Then anytime I'm confronted with a teaching, a doctrine, a question, an issue, adversity, I could instantly look up the subject, see everything Jesus said on that subject, and that would become the basis of my behavioral choices. Not because I'm going to, quote, work my way into his grace, because that's not what it's about, but so I can love him the way he wants to be loved, and so my faith can grow, and I can literally live a life that reflects his values, his desires, his view of life. And so it took me 2 years to do that. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. I've built billion-dollar businesses easier than it was to organize all of his statements into topics. And but at the end of the 2 years, that's what we had, and it was published in 2008 in the first edition, Greatest Words Ever Spoken, and then later it was done in on thin-line Bible paper in 2011. And then last year they went ahead, Waterbrook Random House ended up doing it in red-lettered edition, and that's what everybody wants, because it really has a very different impact when you see all that red. About 90% of the book is red. And so it has become what I meditate in. It's the source of my devotions. It is the source of my strength. Whenever I have a problem, I run right to the words of Christ. And this is what's critical, is Jesus made these incredible promises about his words. He promised discipleship to those who would abide in his words. He promised that we would know the truth. He promised that we would be set free from our enslavement to sin. He promised that our prayers, our desires would be answered. He promised that we'd bear much fruit, that we would glorify the Father. that we would be loved in a very special way, that the Father and the Son would actually come to us and make their home with us. All these things to the people who will abide in his words. And Susie, the tragic thing is, most professing believers I meet do not know what Jesus said. They are not abiding. In fact, I travel a lot. I'm in airplanes a lot. And so often I'll be sitting next to a Christian and they'll start to complain or tell how terrible their life is. And all I have to ask them, how much time this week did you spend in the words of Jesus Christ? Because he said, my words are spirit and life. And right now I'm seeing a person who's void of his spirit and his life. How much time did you spend in his words? And the answer is always the same, none. Or 5 minutes last night. That's not abiding in the words of Christ. And Christ, if we want to follow him, there's no shortcut. We must abide in his words, and that empowers the Holy Spirit to perform his ministry of bringing to our mind whatsoever things Jesus has said. So that's kind of the background, but the good news is for your listeners, anyone who has not had a practice of abiding in his words, what they will begin to experience is a level of intimacy with the Father and Son that they have never imagined possible. It's totally transformational when you begin to abide in his words.
That was going to be my next question, is how has this process impacted your life, your perspective? Well, you've said this intimacy with the Father. Anything else that you would add that's maybe even surprised you as you've rolled up your sleeves and dug into the words of Christ and immersed yourself in them? Anything else change in your life?
Everything changed. Number one, my whole knowledge of the Father. What I thought about God was very different than what Jesus said. Jesus made over 100 statements about his Father. And he said, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom he chooses to reveal him. If you don't know what Jesus said about the Father, you do not know the Father the way Jesus knows him. And he wants to reveal it to you. The good news is he doesn't want to keep it a secret. He has given over 100 statements so that we can know God as he really is and see him the way his dear Son sees him. Because when you see him that way, you love him so much, you want to obey him. It is so life-changing, it changes everything. My faith, just everything has changed. Right after the book was printed, but before it was distributed, they sent me some copies. We were doing Life Today with James and Betty, and they were still wrapped in butcher paper. I hadn't opened them up yet, and I found out one of my sons had been diagnosed with a terrible life-threatening form of cancer. And he was only 20 years old, and I got word. He was thousands of miles away from me, and I was sobbing on the bed, and the Lord said, open up your book. And I opened up to anxiety, worry, and fear. And the very first statement was, it is I. Do not be afraid.
So good.
We need to take a break.
Yeah, that is, I would love for you to pick that story up where you left off, if you don't mind. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Chime in, ask questions. We'd love to hear from you. Or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. So here's a question for you. How familiar are you with the things that Jesus said? This is not a condemning question. This is not an ought to or a should do. It really is a get to, because we are such an over-resourced nation. We've got, most of us have multiple Bibles, not just one, several Bibles in our home. But to familiarize ourselves with the words of Christ and how powerful that is, we follow a risen Lord and Savior. So it's so important to know what he says. And talking to Stephen K. Scott today, he compiled Jesus' words in topical form so we can understand what he's speaking to on all these different topics and the promises and the cautionary advice that he gives to us. The title of his book is The Greatest Words Ever Spoken, and he writes, to earn the ranking of the greatest words ever spoken, the words would have to exert enough power to transform a hateful heart into a loving one, a mind driven by greed into one overflowing with generosity, a life ruled by arrogance into one that's driven by the desire to serve others. And if they were truly the greatest words ever spoken, they would have the power to give sight to the blind, deliverance to the captive, forgiveness to the wrongdoer, and life to the dead. These are Jesus' words, and this is what they accomplish. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. We've got anonymous caller checking in from Stillwater. Thank you. You're on the air with Stephen Scott.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Stephen. I have a quick question. What is your recommendation? I know you've really studied a lot and researched so much, and I think a lot of people would agree that that's a fantastic job that you did, gathering all that information. What is your recommendation as far as, you know, studying the Bible? Is it, do you recommend daily study, or like, and how long, you know, like 5 minutes a day, an hour a day?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think you can ever study the Bible too much. I've studied it my whole life, and I still feel like a neophyte. It's as deep and rich and wide as a person wants to go. But in these days, what I would urge you to do is begin to study the statements of Christ. I love every part of the Bible. I love the Old Testament. I love Proverbs. Changed my life. It changed everything about my life. I love the Psalms. I run to the Psalms whenever I'm brokenhearted. I wouldn't take anything away. But Jesus made these incredible promises about his words. For example, he said, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And he said, I say these things to you in order that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be filled to overflowing, to full. And so I tell people right now, see, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the people of the Old Testament did not have Jesus Christ's testimony of the Father, but the Father finally sent his Son. And when he did, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten. The Apostle John says that the law came through Moses, but truth and grace through Jesus Christ. And what I urge people to do is begin to spend, I would say, minimum 5 or 10 minutes a day in those letters in red. Open up the Gospels. If you don't know where to start, start in the Gospel of John. Start with John chapter 3 and go forward from there, because it's just filled with red letters. You will begin to see Christ as he is and get to know him. When this devotion comes out, the devotional book comes out December 15th, and it's called Jesus Speaks. What people are doing, I sent out about 100 manuscripts to people that I wanted to get their opinion on it and so on, and they started reading it daily. And then at the bottom of it, it tells where in greatest words you can turn to that topic and see everything Jesus said. Well, I'll tell you, the amazing thing is so many people would read that little devotional that only takes about 3 or 4 minutes, dive into the topic in greatest words, and they'd tell me, now we have a habit of an hour and a half every morning or an hour and a half every night, because they're just becoming, they're craving. It creates a craving for Christ and his words. That's where our security is. Our security isn't in becoming a Bible student. Jesus never called anyone to become a Bible student. The Pharisees and Sadducees were the greatest Bible students of all time, but they missed their own Messiah. They didn't. Jesus said, you study the scriptures diligently, but they are that which testify of me, and you will not come to me for life. Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He wants us to run to him. So I encourage you to, man, even starting tonight, get in those Gospels. And because of this call, I'm going to ask Susie to send you a copy of the red-lettered edition of Greatest Words Ever Spoken. And then you can look up any subject you want and dive as deep as you want into the words of Christ.
Thank you so much for that call. Appreciate it so much. Stephen, we've received an email from a listener who says, I'm listening to the conversation with Stephen K. Scott and him unpack the verse from Jesus regarding not knowing people, using his name and doing things for his name, in his name. His response was very confusing to me and seemed to be pointing towards works righteousness. I know he said that's not what he believes, but I was confused by his response. Can he unpack that today for us or in a future program? But I'd love for you to speak to it right now, if you don't mind.
And what was the verse?
Well, the verse that you were talking about, with, you know, and go away, I never knew you. And Lord, Lord, we did works in your name. And this listener is just saying, confused by the response, are you pointing towards works righteousness? I know you're saying you're not, but it sort of sounds like that.
No, what Jesus said is those works are the evidence. And Paul and James said the same thing. The Apostle John, read 1 John. John says those who say they know him but don't obey his commands don't know him. They're liars. And so the evidence, here's what I do. And a book I would recommend where I really spend three chapters on this is a book called The Jesus Mission. And chapters 2, 3, and 4 are all about what it means to be born again and how to enter into intimacy with Christ. We're called to follow Christ. We don't work our way into heaven. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but will have everlasting life. But Americans define belief quite differently than what Christ defined it. We define it as an opinion. I vote for Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. That's a vote. That's an opinion. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus talks about belief in the heart. Why? Because out of the heart comes all of our behavior. So the evidence of a Christian isn't the prayer you pray. The evidence of a Christian is the fruit of the Holy Spirit that happens when you're born again. Now, my dear person, whoever wrote that, let me just tell you, if you have a hunger for Christ and you have a hunger for his righteousness, then that's a fruit of the Spirit. That's not a fruit of the flesh. You are born again. But that born again, Jesus said, those who are born of the Spirit will follow me. And he's not easy about that. He says, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So salvation is never earned by works. But when you're truly saved, guess what? You bear fruit. Jesus said that in John 15, that's the evidence. And so you don't try to bear fruit so you'll be saved. No. Hey, man, I can't wait to hear what Jesus said today, and I can't wait to do what he said. That's what people who follow Christ are. Christ never called anybody to, quote, receive him or invite him into their life. He called people to follow him. You show me one place in the New Testament where his call was anything other than follow me, and, you know, it was believe, repent, and follow me. That was it. That's the call of Christ. So do I think people are saved by works? Absolutely not. Paul's very clear. Jesus is very clear. Salvation comes by grace through faith unto good works. But both James and the Apostle John, who was the most intimate with Christ, read 1 John if you want to see what the Apostle John said.
Well, he's saying, those, you know, you can't even continue to sin when you have the Spirit in you. You can't. I mean, not that we don't stumble, but the Spirit of God in us doesn't let us do the life the way we used to do it. I mean,
it's a different path, and it's not that you become sinless. He says, John said, he who says he has no sin is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We all have our struggle with sin. Even Paul struggled with sin. My pastor that led me right when I became a Christian said the only people that don't struggle with sin are the people who've surrendered to it.
Yeah.
That struggle goes on. I struggle with pride every day, with greed every day, with anger every day, with lust every day. Those are struggles that we have. But, you see, because we want to follow Christ, it is a struggle. We don't just yield to it. We want to follow Christ. Paul says, in my heart, I want to follow him. My flesh, on the other hand, doesn't have the power. The sin has a certain power, but Christ says that if we abide in his word, that power becomes less and less. Most Christians I know that truly even love the Lord still do not honestly, habitually abide in the words of Christ. And their life shows it. We build our life on that sand. So when some of those little bricks get taken out of our life, our health, our finances, our relationships, those things start to crumble, we panic. Why? Well, our house is crumbling. But if we will build on the rock that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7, of hearing and doing what he said, guess what? People can take anything they want, and we're still, all of our joy is still there. Our faith is still there. A 15-year-old girl was on the phone with a dear friend of mine. He was in Syria at the time, and she was in Syria, and the ISIS had surrounded her village, and she knew she was probably only minutes away from being captured and killed. And she didn't say, pray for my deliverance. She had one request, one request. She said, pray that the last words from my mouth are praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be faithful to the very end. And he said, I will, dear sister, but what else can I pray for? She said, nothing else. I just want to be faithful. I just want to be praising him as that knife cuts my throat. That, she was as rich. She was richer than the greatest billionaire in the United States. She was rich in Christ. You see, they couldn't crumble her house because her house was built on the rock. That's what we want to encourage people to do. And I hope that clarifies. And Susie, if I missed anything, go ahead and fill in the blank.
No, not at all. In fact, email me back, friend, if you have further questions. And what I was referring to in 1 John, where it talks about that we can't continue, in other words, I'll have to find the verse, but on live radio, that's a little tricky to do that and talk at the same time. But the point of when the Spirit of God is in us, we can't go on living our old life and have it not bother us. The Spirit of God will bring conviction. So not to say we don't sin, but we just can't flippantly sin and get away with it because without feeling the conviction of the Spirit. That was my point. Just clarifying.
The conviction comes and the solution comes. Yeah. The solution is Jesus said, my word has made you clean. The bar of soap that God offers us. See, in Christ, we have been forgiven of all sin. Jesus paid our debt in full. We can't add a single thing to that payment. It was done. It is finished. Hallelujah. And we can rejoice in that. But when we let the filth of this world, the values of this world, contaminate our mind and poison our mind and our heart, God gives us a bar of soap. And that, of course, is confession and repentance. But the real bar of soap that cleanses our mind and our heart are the words of Jesus Christ. My word has made you clean. That's what he told his Apostle Peter.
I got to read this. What I love, too, about this greatest words ever spoken, as you said, 90% or so is on red letters, is Jesus' words. But you give these great introductions to these different sections. And on the section where the topic is commands of Christ, we have to take a break here in a moment, but I got to read this. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus extends one of the most wonderful invitations ever. He tells all of us who struggle with sin, self-centeredness, worry, guilt, depression, and despair to come to him. He promises to harness us to his side, and he says he will gently lead us. He promises that he will carry the burden of our load. And yet, in this section, you will find more than 130 stated or implied commands that Jesus gives to his followers. Some were intended solely for his disciples, but they reveal principles that are just as meaningful for us. His commands are not meant to be burdensome. They are given so we might ascend to the height of joy, fulfillment, and success that lasts for eternity rather than that which ends in death. Talking to Stephen K. Scott about the greatest words ever spoken. We welcome your questions. I love that you care about your faith enough to write in and ask your questions or to call us. We welcome that. 877-933-2484. Let's wrestle this thing through and let's come to a deeper understanding of what God means, what Jesus means when he speaks his words of life to us. More with Stephen K. Scott in a moment. don't even know if I should share this with you, but I remember a time in this last year where I just was fasting and praying, pressing for the sake of the persecuted, specifically for Saeed Abedini and his dear wife, Nagme, and just praying for that situation, really going for it with God, with our for our dear brothers and sisters. And I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit in my heart, ask me for a desire of your heart. And I just, it surprised me because it crossed my mind, crossed my heart, but I looked up and just said, could I have a token for my faith for my kids? Could I just see something of what you're doing in their lives? And in no time, God, it's like he opened the sky for just a moment, and he gave me a glimpse of something he's working on, something that he's on it, he's got it, and it overwhelmed me. But it was like it came as a surprise because I was abiding in his words. I'm only saying this, and that's why I feel kind of funny even sharing it, because I'm not patting myself on the back. There's plenty of times I pray selfish prayers and get obsessed with my own stuff, you know what I mean? But there was something about the Father's pleasure as I was just tending to the things that are really, really close to his heart. He says in John 15:7-8, if you remain in me, my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It almost makes me cry to share that story. But Stephen, I know that you've learned something of the Father's heart as you've tended to the things that he cares about. He's tended to things that you've cared about. Say a word about that.
Well, you know, I gave that example of my son, and my son was miraculously healed of cancer in an amazing way that I won't get into now. But I will tell you, you fall in as you abide in the words of Christ, you fall in love with him. It's so crazy what happens. And just like right now, you talked about praying. And you made a statement. You said, oh, sometimes I pray selfishly. You know, I admit I do that. That's not selfish. Listen, yesterday's devotion in Jesus Speaks was titled, it's October 13th, Praying Honestly, Seeking Peace and Power. And then the red-lettered statement is, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. In Gethsemane, I knew I was about to be arrested, tried, and unjustly sentenced. I knew I would be beaten mercilessly and nailed to the cross, but my greatest burden was that I would soon experience sin for the first time. As always, my prayers were completely honest and transparent. Three times I shared my desire first, asking the Father to spare me this terrible ordeal if possible. Each time I asked him, his peace flowed into my heart. Then I could honestly ask that his will be done. After my third prayer, his peace flooded my heart, and I was ready to fulfill the Father's calling. This is how I want you to pray. Be transparent and honest. First, share how you truly feel and what you really want. Then, my peace will flow into your mind and your heart. In the time that follows, whether seconds or days, your desire will change from wanting your will to truly wanting the Father's. Then you will be able to honestly ask for his will to be done. You will receive your request by his power. That it's okay to pray for what you want. In fact, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Paul tells us to do that. But then what happens is the peace of God will begin to mount guard on our heart and mind, and then we can honestly, we're literally transformed from wanting our desire to then ultimately wanting his. And that's what Christ is saying there. Excuse me.
You know what? This is just awesome, Stephen. We've literally got about 3 minutes before we have to pray. We've got an email that just came in and a caller waiting on hold to ask you a question. So let's see if we can squeeze those in before we say goodbye. Anonymous caller from St. Paul with a question for you. Welcome. You're on the air with Stephen Scott.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've been told in my circle of friends that I have a personality that it's easy for me to share the gospel with people and that it's just my gift. And I'm wondering how to encourage other people that it's not just my gift and that it's for everyone. And without sounding like I'm trying to be pushy to them or anything like that, but just that, you know, I think it's all of our responsibility, it just is our responsibility. So how do you work with people on that and not let them say, get away with, well, that's not my gift, so I'm not going to do that type of thing?
Well, not everybody has the same calling as far as their gifts go, but everybody is called to proclaim the gospel. Everybody called. Jesus said, what I whisper in your ear, shout from the rooftops. And So it's all our responsibility. But we don't have to be I honestly don't make it a goal. It's not my goal to share the gospel. My goal is to be the person of Christ in any given moment with any situation. And if people will abide in his words, then the Holy Spirit will perform the ministry that Christ promised. Christ said he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatsoever things I have said unto you. So that if we abide in his words, and then it's just natural. When people ask me a question, it can be in a business meeting or whatever, I don't have to filter what I say. I let the Holy Spirit just witness of Christ. Anybody that knows me hears of Christ, but they don't hear with the intention of me winning them to my side of the argument. They literally see what Jesus wants them to see in Steve Scott. They hear what he wants them to hear. That only comes from abiding in his words. So that's what you encourage people to do, is abide in the word of Christ, and then witnessing becomes natural rather than contrived or forced. I hope that makes sense to you.
And I'm just looking at one of the passages, one of Jesus' word statements from this greatest words ever spoken from the Gospel of John. A new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you, so you Amen. Must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This friend wrote in and said, this is a very convicting program today. When you asked what words of Jesus come to mind, what first came to my mind were his words on the cross. Stephen Scott has a spirit flowing from him as he's so blessed from his study of all Jesus' words. Stephen has really motivated me today. Isn't that great?
Praise the Lord. Well, it's not Stephen. All they're doing is hearing the Holy Spirit reveal the words of Christ, that whenever I speak to anyone, whenever I preach or teach, and people come up and they start telling how excited they are, what they're really responding to are the words of Christ. God has poured these words into my mind, and then I don't even memorize them, but the Holy Spirit brings them to my mind verbatim, because that's his ministry.
But you fed
that's
on him.
What he promised to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, here, one last excerpt I'm going to read before I ask you to pray, and this is in the section Accountability Before God. And Stephen, you wrote, God is infinitely intelligent, and his dealings with humanity are based on his eternal perspective rather than a finite, nearsighted perspective. Our short life on earth is like a drop of water in the oceans of eternity. While we look at disasters, tragedies, and death as if they are the final pages in the book of life, in truth, they're only the first pages of the introduction. They're only the first pages of the introduction. If you're walking through a terrible time, you're in the first pages of the introduction of the story that God is writing with your life. Do not give up hope, and immerse yourself in what Jesus has to say to you about your situation. Stephen, wondering if you would pray for that person listening today who's right in the fires right now and needs some encouragement.
I sure will. Father, we know that you know their hearts, that you love them more than they love themselves. Lord, I pray that you would reveal your Son. Father, I pray for these listeners that they will begin to dive into those precious statements of your dear Son. God, we can't even believe you've given us this light, that you've turned on the light for us, that he's a lamp unto our feet, both his example and his word. So I pray for the listeners, Lord, that they would begin to see you through the words of their Son, see you as you really are, that they would see the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would yoke up to him, and let him carry their load. And I ask this in his holy name. Amen.
Amen. Stephen K. Scott, thank you for your time today.
Oh, my honor. Thank you, Susie, and I can't wait till next month.
Next month. Always good conversation. Title of Stephen's book is The Greatest Words Ever Spoken. Did you hear that line? Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. He's coming again, and even now, today, he's looking for faith on the earth. Will he find it in you? You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Give us a bit. It'll be up there, and you can share it with a click of a button. Coming up next, Dick Foth, who's Mark Batterson's mentor and great friend of the program. We're going to join him to talk about the adventure of faith and life with Jesus. Another great conversation up ahead. Hour 2 is up next.